This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 18th of March 2022. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. Our editors this week are Liz and Gordon Legg, and our readers this week are Ros Lydiard.
Hello.
Richard Martin.
Hello.
Claire Porter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter for this week, Peter Lydiard. So we've been with our usual regular notices. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with a recording you've received from us, please telephone Liz Legree. Contact number is on the key fob attached to your memory stick. And don't forget, as you listen to the recording, you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen again. And those of you with computers or tablets, as well as using the memory stick in your box, you can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News, the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear and click Download. Our headline stories this week are Winchester crime level increasing, drivers of dirtier cars could pay more to park, COVID-19 numbers again are rising fast, and noisy car meet at City Superstore. So, Ros, we have the first headline story, please.
Yes, thank you. It's headed Winchester crime level increasing. Crime has risen sharply in the Winchester district, according to new figures. Sex offences have seen a sharp rise, although the reasons are unclear. Rapes rose from 81 to 107, a 38% rise, and other sex offences rose from 114 to 189. An increase of 66% from 2020 to 2021. Violence with injury rose between 20 to 2021 from 553 to 639. Domestic violence in the same period from 792 to 803. Hate crime from 154 to 195. Violence without injury rose from 1,215 to 1,507. Drug possession rose from 123 to 160. But antisocial behaviour fell sharply from 1,438 to 945, as did drug trafficking, from 40 to 35. Compared to 2019, the year before the first lockdown, the 2021 figures are 6% down. Councillor Inspector John Turton, the local police commander, told the scrutiny committee that the COVID lockdown for most of 2020 had skewed the figures. Councillor Paula Ferguson said that she was horrified by the rise in sex offences. Many of the offences were historical and non-recent, said Commander Inspector Turton. Refuge, the national charity that runs the National Domestic Abuse Helpline, has reported a 61% increase in calls and contacts in England between April 2020 and February 2021, compared to that of the first 3 months of 2020. Conservative group leader Caroline Horrell praised the police for clamping down on the illegal use of the A33 as a racetrack. She said the residents were grateful to the police when you galvanised additional resources to support the community when it was overrun by visitors. On King's Walk, Chief Inspector Turton said the police would be looking at court orders for chronic offenders. We're looking at criminal behaviour orders to remove people from the city if they have no occasion for being in the city. We have used them in the past and want to use them more. You cannot just arrest your way out of a situation. Excuse me, out of a situation, you just remove it somewhere else. Saying the police needed to work with other agencies to address the root causes of offending, such as drug use and mental health issues. Councillors asked for more beat. Councillors asked for more beat sergeants out on out. I'm really sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Allow me to say again. That again. Councillors asked for more beat surgeries, but Chief Inspector Turton said the favoured intelligence-led policing. I don't think it's the best use of time to hold beat surgeries with a couple of people turning up. Councillor Stephen Godfrey questioned why there had only been 8 prosecutions over the 1,347 reported fly tippings. Bike thefts have also risen sharply, with organised thieves targeting expensive machines with angle grinders to cut locks. Councillor Turton said people were leaving bikes insecure and the cars unlocked on their drives. Again, I apologise for the errors.
Thank you, Ros. Richard's going to talk to us about dirty cars now, apparently.
And yet very appropriate, since mine is filthy. Drivers of dirtier cars could pay more to park. Winchester civic chiefs are considering introducing parking charges for more polluting vehicles. Dirtier, older vehicles would pay more to park under an initiative that's been pioneered in Westminster, central London. A 6-week consultation in the summer on an air quality surcharge will be undertaken on how it might be done, and a further report will go back to Cabinet. Councillor Martin Todd, portfolio holder for Economic Recovery, said, finally, the council is getting serious about charging and air quality. Analysis of Ringo cashless parking reveals 40% of vehicles in Winchester were older diesel vehicles. The council is also removing free 30-minute pay and display parking in the city centre, but in introducing 1-hour free parking at the park and walk car parks, Chesil Street Multistory, Cattle Market, Worthy Lane Coach Park, River Park Leisure, River Park Leisure Centre. Derngate is owned by the county council and so not included. The council says that it will reduce the number of cars that come into the city centre looking for a free space, which adds to congestion and pollution. Councillor told Cabinet, it means if you arrive in Winchester after 5 p.m, it's free if you park outside the air quality management area, the city centre. If you park at River Park Leisure Centre, it's free after 4 p.m. You can take your dog for a walk, free. We are actively encouraging people to come to the centre, but not to go through the city centre. There are an awful lot of people driving around trying to find on-street spaces, and then they head for the car park. It is responsible for half of the traffic in peak hours. Councillor said the measure would also free more spaces for disabled blue badge holders. Season tickets in the central zone will increase by 3%, but costs in park and walk will be frozen, and a new quarterly ticket introduced at £175 in park and ride. Gosh. Conservative City Councillor Michael Kern said Winchester is trying to punish car drivers for coming into the city. Unfortunately, we're dependent on our cars. An air quality surcharge will punish drivers and harm our economy. Why do you need to introduce this now when the economy is still reviving and business needs our support? Councillor Leslie Learney, portfolio holder for housing and asset management, said, "We've heard what the Conservatives always say about the environmental issue. It's incredibly important, but there's always a reason for not doing it at this moment in time. Just delay and somehow things will sort things out." She said less traffic would mean cleaner and safer streets, and that will encourage people from the high street to visit places such as Parchment Street, whereas currently St George's Street is a barrier. Councillor Todd said, "The people who complain about a lack of footfall have cars going past their shops. They're the ones under pressure. The ones in the pedestrianised area are not complaining about footfall. Cutting traffic improves the experience of shoppers and makes more people want to come to enjoy the place more." Cabinet also heard that Wi-Fi in city car parks is to be improved so that people can always pay with their phone. Ringo is now used by more than half the users. The council is also looking at improving the surface at the Garnier Road car park at the base of St Catherine's Hill. Well,
thank you, Richard. Claire, please.
This is headed COVID-19 numbers again rising fast. COVID is again rising fast across the Winchester district for the first time since the end of January. The latest figures have seen increases, some as high as 200% in the 7 days to March the 9th, across 13 of the district's 14 areas. The number of patients in the three hospitals of the Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust is also rising again and back up to 87, with 63 in Basingstoke, 21 at the RHCH in Winchester, and 3 in Andover. Cases at Winchester University are rising and stand at 72, but far below the peak of around 250 at the start of February. The recent sharp rises have coincided with the end of all government restrictions, such as compulsory mask wearing. The vaccination rate has stalled too, with 91.7% having their first vaccination, 85% with two, and 71.7% with both and the booster. There have been 4 deaths in the Winchester district in the last month, with patients having had a positive COVID result within the previous 28 days. Currently, the worst affected area is Bishop's Waltham and Waltham Chase, 101 cases, up 68, that's 206%, for a rolling number per 100,000 of 1,030.
Thank you, Claire. My headline story is headed Noisy Car Park Meet at City Superstore. Scores of cars descended onto a supermarket car park in Winchester in the latest antisocial car meet. Residents reported hearing loud revving noises and seeing speeding cars late on Saturday night heading towards Badger Farm Road. Staff at Sainsbury's in Badger Farm said they were prevented from leaving the car park after their shifts, as at least 20 cars arrived to fill the car park at around 11:15 p.m, with another 30 seen heading towards the area. Some social media reports stated there were more than 250 cars in attendance until the early hours. One concerned staff member said, "It was frustrating as a colleague trying to get home because I couldn't leave because of the cars coming in. They weren't keeping to the road markings, and some of them were not travelling slowly, and they were parking across car parking spaces. It's not great for the residents either, with all the cars making revving noises." They said that it was one of the first times that a car meet of that type had taken place there. Other residents took to social media to vent their frustrations, as well as reporting the matter to police. Excuse me. People across Winchester reported being disturbed by the noise. One said, "I could hear a 6-cylinder car doing a burnout in the distance from Headbourne Worthy. Another said, one of them has just come past my house so fast they almost lost control of the car. It stinks of burning rubber in the air outside. Badger Farm Parish Council met on Monday evening and discussed the issue with Chairman Councillor John Godbold, insisting the behaviour needs to be nipped in the bud before it spreads to neighbouring residential areas. He said, I would support the installation of automatic number plate recognition for any type of camera to identify and deter vehicles that enter the car park after hours. Although the supermarket was closed, the public still needs safe access to the out-of-hours medical facilities, the community centre and the cash points. The Parish Council feels strongly that the antisocial behaviour needs to be stopped before it expands into the neighbouring residential areas. This latest meeting follows a series of antisocial meets across the county, thought to be organised by the same group, which arranges its meetings via Snapchat. Hampshire Police have previously issued dispersal orders for car parks and industrial estates in Nursling, Calmore and Hedge End. Well, that takes us to the end of the headline news. So we go on, please, to Christian comment from Claire.
This is written by Liz Tatham, and she's headed it, A Changing World. How things change so quickly. Things of huge order, of global significance. They can change in an instant. When I wrote this comment a month ago, the Russian tanks were hovering on the border of Ukraine. And then suddenly we woke to the news that they were over the border. A rapid and terrifying invasion had begun. People like us, who live like us, went to work, to school, shopping, out for a coffee, were being bombarded and fleeing their homes. In 3 weeks, a nation of people have become refugees and parted from their loved ones who remain to fight. I don't know what went through your minds, but my thoughts were random and bizarre, but practical. Do you go or stay? What do you take? What would I do with my dog? What would it be like on one of those overcrowded trains if I had small children with me? If I forgot to bring water, food, nappies, medicine, how did people cope? How would I keep in touch with my son when our mobile phone batteries ran out? So many questions, but in the end, people just fled with nothing, or very little, because they were under such threat that taking their lives with them was all that they could do. I did pray a lot, and I still am. In the beginning of the invasion, I prayed for miracles, for an army of angels to descend on the Russian army and send them back, stop them. Well, that didn't happen, but I know it can, because we have an Old Testament history of God sending armies of angels, or even a single angel, to proceed at the head of Moses and his people as they marched across the desert, as they left Egypt, to the place God had prepared for them. That's in Exodus 23, verse 20. Ironically, Joseph was warned by an angel in a dream to take Mary and their baby and flee into Egypt. That's in Matthew 2, 12 to 14. And so they became refugees. They probably had very little anyway, so fled with what they had. I hope they were met with hospitality and help wherever they went. Well, an army of angels hasn't turned back the armies on this occasion, but armies of determined people are fighting back to keep them at bay. Also, armies of human angels are descending on the refugees and offering help, money, their homes, rest, food, and anything else these feeling people need. They are greeted at borders by people doing everything they can to offer immediate and ongoing needs to these millions of refugees. It is overwhelming to see what ordinary people will do for strangers. As yet, we cannot stand at the borders and greet people, but many here are offering their homes for when they come. So we can join this army of human angels and offer our gifts of money, time, and prayer to help in this catastrophe which affects us all. With our brothers and sisters in Europe, we can all be the place that God has prepared for them. And that was written by Liz Tatham.
Thank you, Claire. Right, we now move on to the death notices. First from Ros, please.
Yes, thank you. Adcock, Edward George Tyler Adcock, passed away peacefully on the 2nd of March 2022, aged 92.
Bachelor, Doreen Bachelor, passed peacefully in Flowerdown Nursing Home on February the 25th, 2022.
Dine, Derek Dine, passed peacefully on the 19th of February 2022 at Brendan Care Nursing Home.
Filmer, Diana Filmer of Mitchellover, Hampshire, passed away peacefully in the Countess of Brecknock home in Andover on the 7th of March 2022, aged 84 years.
Henley, Margaret Ann, née Hooper, known as Anne, sadly passed away on the 11th of March 2022, aged 93.
Macklin, Betty Rosemary Macklin, formerly of Colborne Court, Abbots Barton, sadly passed on the 11th of March 2022, aged 93.
Marjorie Banks, or Majorie Banks? Ivy Majorie Banks, passed away peacefully on 9th of March 2022.
Turner, Paul Newton Turner, on the 6th of March 2022, peacefully at Ranville's Nursing Home, after a long illness, aged 79.
Whale, Sydney Whale, passed peacefully, aged 82.
Wisdom, Dr. Rosemary Wisdom, passed away peacefully at home on the 7th of March 2022.
Wren, Hazel Margaret Wren, passed away in her sleep after a long illness at home on the 8th of March, aged 91 years.
Now we move on to letters to the editor. The usual mixed bag of letters to the editor this week. And, Ros, if you could start with the first letter, please.
Yes, this first one is started Military Man. And it's from Lisbeth Rake. So I read the article by Barry Sherlock about the Hampshire Genealogical Society, HGS, at the Hampshire Record Office, HRO. I was interested in the Chronicle, March the 10th, investigating the military career of my father-in-law, John Henry Roeder, who was awarded the Military Medal for Gallantry in April 1918. The HGS team were quickly able to find his date and place of birth, and our celebration of his 80th birthday was 4 years late. He enlisted in April 1914 and served with the 1st Battalion of the King's Royal Rifle Corps. The HGS pointed me in the direction of other sources, and the HRO staff have allowed me access to the trench diaries and other records, including photographs. He stayed in the regular army with his battalion based in Winchester until the mid-1930s, with service abroad and in the UK. He married a local girl, Irene, and they had three children. In 1939, he returned to his battalion and was put in charge of a German prisoner of war camp until 1945. I am now compiling the research into a booklet for his grandchildren, who remember him well, and his great-grandchildren to learn more about him, and especially the Great War. The assistance and expertise of the HGS and the HRO have made this a most enjoyable and rewarding experience. And that is from Lisbeth Rake, Marston Gate, Hyde, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard, please.
This letter comes from Bill Hode. Sir, the current Winchester Council should perhaps change its name, as it is neither liberal nor democratic. The Putinesque management of the council meeting on Wednesday, March the 9th, which ended in the Cabinet's decision to approve the plan to sell off a large section of the North Wall's recreation ground to Southampton University, is proof of the way they work. In secret, and with public consultations after the decision has been made. Their liberality was clearly seen when they called in the police to evict about 50 concerned residents from the meeting. They followed this up and said that if the order was not maintained, they'd also evict those that had been booked to put forward alternative views, mostly residents, and the meeting would be held behind closed doors. The police duly arrived and took no action. A truly wonderful vision of democracy at work. The meeting finally went ahead with a couple of security men, who were described as being colleagues, and three policemen barring the door. One of the speakers, Sam Feltham, offered very credible alternative proposals to the Cabinet. His last comment, after being told that he was about to overrun his 3 minutes, was, "This is why we need blue sky thinking for Winchester. Putting the blinkers on and only looking at one option will stifle the possibility of us reaching our potential." Councillor Caroline Horrell also addressed the Glib Dems and asked for a 6-month consultation period with residents. The Cabinet listened, then reverted to their version of democracy and, taking no notice of what they'd heard, replaced their blinkers and agreed to sell the leisure centre to Southampton University, even though, as Councillor Kelsey Lurley informed us, "We haven't measured the site. Many of us think that this is the time to give true democracy a chance." Bill Hode, Worthy Lane, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard. Lovely, amusing letter. Claire, please.
This is about cuts impacting homeless services. I wanted to get in touch personally about the proposed cuts to our service, the Winchester Beacon, known as the Winchester Church's Night Shelter. This letter is written by Michelle Price, who's chief executive of the Winchester Beacon. I'll start again, because I wanted to get in touch personally about the proposed cuts to our service, the Winchester Beacon, known as the Winchester Church's Night Shelter, to be made by Hampshire County Council. We are anxious about the potential impact that the proposed cuts could have on people experiencing homelessness in Hampshire. The proposed cuts are coming at a time when reports suggest there will be a rise in homelessness over coming months. We are committed to expanding our services to cope with this increase in demand for our services, but a cut in funds could mean that instead we will be forced to scale back our support and reduce our personalised wraparound care, which not only changes but saves lives. Excuse me. What our service means to those we support was abundantly clear when residents met representatives from Hampshire County Council last week. Feedback included, "Without this place, I can guarantee I would not be here." Another, "I have a chance to rebuild. I have people around me who care." Another, "I have been empowered because of this service." And, "This place lifts you up." Proposed cuts in Winchester are in the region of £73,272 and could impact on our charity and the lives of the people it supports. The work we do to support former residents to prevent them returning to homelessness could be stopped or reduced. People returning to homelessness will ultimately cost more money than the preventative approach. I am concerned that the cuts come at a time when the National Housing Charity Crisis has predicted that by 2024 there will be 8,000 more people rough sleeping. The increase in the cost of living, benefit freezes, and the end of COVID eviction bans are just some of the factors pushing people to homelessness. The Winchester Beacon is working hard to prepare the prediction rise in homelessness and needs your support now more than ever to achieve this. Please see www.winchesterbeacon.org.uk and do please email Hampshire County Council on as consultation@hants.gov.uk with your views on these proposed cuts before midday on March the 21st, when their consultation closes. And that was written by Michelle Price, who's chief executive of the Winchester Beacon, Jury Street, Winchester.
Thank you, Claire. My next letter is written by a regular contributor, Kim A. Gottlieb. It's headed King's Walk, Sir. The Chronicle headlines a revival of King's Walk, part of which entails removing the brick walls on which vagrants, beggars and drug users sit during the day. That was in the Chronicle February the 17th. The City Council says it wants to design out the antisocial behaviour around the front entrance of King's Walk. Yet it was only a few years ago, in August 2017, that the council spent £52,000 removing the fountain and seating around it and installing the brick planters with castellated tops for the exact same purpose of discouraging antisocial behaviour. The idea never worked, and while this might not be the biggest waste of money in that by the City Council, and there is a long list of candidates for that title, it neatly illustrates the Council's addiction to OPM, that is, spending other people's money. Along with an addiction to power, this is a significant cause of antisocial behaviour and really ought to be discouraged. Of course, it's right to make good and imaginative use of the accommodation while it's standing, but King's Walk needs to come down. It is ugly, overbearing, and an obstruction to the ultimate regeneration of the whole Silver Hill area. Hundreds of thousands of pounds were wasted on the ill-conceived idea of refurbishing the whole of King's Walk. Thankfully, that idea has now been binned, but the council's latest plans for Silver Hill will end up wasting millions. The council is pursuing a marketing plan that will stifle competition, and by failing to resolve issues such as the site's archaeology and the movement strategy, it has made necessary the inclusion of a substantial provision costs, which will shrink the potential profit. rather than wasting more hundreds of thousands on temporary fixes, the council should immediately proceed with the redevelopment of King's Walk. It's large enough to make a significant piece of regeneration, and while that's occurring, the council should take responsibility for investigating the rest of the site's archaeology before selling it to a developer. This approach would achieve far better financial and cultural outcomes, but it's the addicts inside the Guildhall who are the cause of all the problems. That was written by Kim Gottlieb from East Stratton. And now, Ros, please.
Yes, thank you. My next letter is headed Tree Felling. Sir, councillors are hypocrites. They encourage you to plant trees to help cut climate change as the tree soaks up carbon. Yet look along A31 near Alsford. The trees are being felled. But of course, the council will say they were diseased. They certainly didn't look it. Of course, all this devastation is cutting the environments for our wildlife, which we are informed by naturists is in full decline. GN Barrett, Nicholson Place, Alsford. So there.
Thank you. Richard, please.
Yes, well, Steve Marper takes us back to the meeting I described a little while ago. Council decision. Sir, I fear some readers may misunderstand your point about stealth in last week's editorial comment. The Winchester City Council plan was indeed perfectly evident, but I think members of the public talking about stealth may be prompted by the council's apparent urgency to get the plan passed no matter what, particularly when it's clearly controversial on several counts. The plan seemed to appear abruptly some time ago as the only option to be publicly pursued. Apart from a substantial lack of detail on technical and legal matters, any option appraisal which considered public views was at best perfunctory. Councillor Learney may be right that there's been much consultation with the public in recent years, but this has been about the city as a whole, mainly the centre, as her remarks at the meeting acknowledged. Any consultation about the leisure centre site itself has been brief and recent. Indeed, it was specifically excluded from the public engagements event about the future of the river park as a whole. The degree of outrage on the part of members of the public at the meeting was extraordinary. Both the cabinet chair and members simply didn't seem to be listening with what acknowledgement of public feeling that they had made seeming rather patronising. They casually admitted to not having measured the area to be included, and hence proportion of the recreation ground to be lost to the general public. They seemed determined to make their preferred decision without delay, and even continued with the meeting, apparently despite police advice to reschedule for another day. There was no substantial debate or vote taken. I suggest this haste may be what is prompting allegations of stealth, with the shortage of space for members of the general public at the meeting perhaps seeming to be consistent with this. I have heard it suggested that the urgency is driven by the need to avoid purdah leading up to the local elections in May. Might the outcome have otherwise affected the plan or its implementation? Perhaps. Steve Marper, Monk's Road, Hyde.
Richard, Claire, please.
Recycling centres. Now that the COVID regulations have been relaxed, is it not time that the recycling centres revert to the original system and allow anyone who wants to deposit waste to enter without the need to book a timed slot? This will save a fortune in recovering fly-tipped items around the county and provide a very welcome chance to meet up with old friends dumping their rubbish. Heath Webb, Quarry Road, St Giles Hill, Winchester.
The people you meet at dump.
That's its real purpose, isn't it?
Oh, certainly is.
Right, well, the next letter is written by Neil Hyman and it's headed City Bridge. Sir, with the state the world is in, A local matter, such as what to do about the city bridge, may seem a bit marginal. But the idea of superimposing a modern footbridge onto its southern side should have been challenged and dismissed straight away. The bridge is a historic England Grade 1 listed structure and is admired and photographed by thousands of visitors every year. The view from downstream, with the city mill behind, must be an abiding memory of Winchester for people from all over the world. If we compromise it, we may well have a mobile phone mast next to the cathedral and our own Hollywood sign on St Giles Hill. Walkers and traffic share the bridge uneasily, that is clear. My own first thoughts was that the downstream elevation could be taken down stone by stone, the bridge structure widened and the whole reinstated so as to appear exactly as now. My guess is that it would be possible, but a major engineering challenge and very expensive. More to the point, Historic England might raise legitimate objections. Alternatively, a system of shuttle working on the bridge and its approaches would permit a widening of one or both pavements and could include a much-needed pedestrian crossing at the lights. In any case, the proposal for an auxiliary footbridge should be ruled out before it puts the final nail in the coffin of Winchester as a city that cares about its visual appeal and heritage. And that is written by Neil Hyman of Monk's Road, Hyde, Winchester. Ros, please.
Yes, war memory. Sir, the current fighting in the Ukraine has brought back earlier memories. My mother sometimes reinforced those first words I said when I was about two in 1943. To the question, who won the Battle of Dnipropetrovsk, the Germans or the Russians? I knew to reply, the Russians. We must hope that this is not the answer if the question is asked again in the next few weeks. And that's from Mrs. Dale Thompson of Compton Road, Winchester.
Ros, Richard.
Mrs. Christine Patchell is concerned about permit parking. Several years ago now, the exits of private driveways in Petersfield Road, above Fifield Road, were protected by double yellow lines on the opposite side of the road. But the exit of a public highway, Chalk Ridge, was ignored, and the introduction of parking restrictions on August 1st, 2020 did not address this situation. They were introduced to remove commuter parking from in front of the Petersfield Road properties without any consideration for the cars of people using the South Downs Way that park opposite the exit of Chalk Ridge. The Highways Authority has told me that it's not a priority to introduce restrictions to protect the exit from Chalk Ridge without explaining why it was a priority to protect the exit of private driveways in Petersfield Road and why the safety of residents in Petersfield Road is considered to be more important than those in Chalk Ridge. I sent two photographs to the Highways Authority showing the situation I was confronted with on October 28, 2021. 14 cars parked down South Downs Way, down Petersfield Road. It was opportune for a car to be exiting Chalk Ridge to show it being immediately forced onto the wrong side of the road. The Highways Authority claims not to have had them, but the insinuation is that I didn't send them. The introduction of restrictions meant the need for parking permits without, again, any consideration for Chalk Ridge, where cars are parked obstructing the footpath and turning area. As no parking bays were marked out or double or single yellow lines provided, these practices continue, despite Winchester City Council having an income from residents' permits issued to the owners of these cars. The Highways Authority has failed to address this embarrassing situation. Yet again, a picture was sent and sent has gone walkabout. Even the ward councillors, both city and county, have shown no interest in resolving the situation. Mrs. Christine Patchell, Chalk Ridge, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard. And Claire, please.
Back in January, I sent out invitations to 90 people for my forthcoming 90th birthday party. Instead of birthday gifts, I asked people to donate to Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance. This they did, some sending money direct, quoting my name as a reference, and some sent cash and cheques to me. These I forwarded to their office at Adenac Park, Nursling, with a request that I be notified of the total donated. I have had no reply or acknowledgement. Twice I have telephoned to ask when the total raised, what the total raised was, because I and people who donated wished to know. Twice I have been told that they would write to me by the end of the week. That was in February, and I'm still waiting. I believe the sum raised is over £500, which surely warrants a thank you. If Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance cannot tell me the total donated in my name, I suggest the charity commissioners take a look at their bookkeeping. Tony Mars, Twyford Road, Eastleigh.
Thank you, Claire. Well, that concludes our letters for this week. If you have an opinion or a subject you'd like to air at the Hampshire Chronicle, in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860 836. That is 01962 860 836, or you can email them news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you can also write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Right, we now move on to editorial comment, which is about the Ukraine, and we follow that by a number of news items about the Ukraine. So first, Richard will read the editorial comment, please.
Yes, which is headed "The Chronicle Appeal for Ukraine." Today's Hampshire Chronicle has an unusual front page, one that is being replicated across scores of newspapers owned by the Chronicle's parent company, NewsQuest. Today we launch a fundraising campaign to help the victims of this appalling war, the worst conflict in Europe since 1945. Thousands of innocent people are fleeing the Russian tanks, shells and missiles. Some people may say, why are you doing this when there was nothing for the victims of the recent ongoing wars in Syria or Yemen? This is different. Ukraine is a European nation which you can reach in a day. The Russian dictator Vladimir Putin has threatened nuclear confrontation, and you can be sure that the naval base at Portsmouth and the docks in Southampton are being targeted for a nuclear strike. The missiles would reach Hampshire in around 10 minutes. Putin's war is not just against Ukraine, but all of us. Please join us. www.justgiving.com/therewithukraine, all one word, there with Ukraine.
Richard, Clare, please.
Candles for the Ukraine at vigil. Hundreds of people laid candles and daffodils in Winchester Cathedral during an emotional vigil. The vigil, which took place at 11 a.m. on Saturday, saw Jewish, Christian and Muslim leaders deliver powerful speeches against a backdrop of blue and yellow, the Ukrainian national colours. Many were brought to tears after a video was shown of Ukrainian citizens praying from within bunkers and air raid shelters on screens which lined the cathedral pillars. People from a variety of faiths and backgrounds were then invited to join in their prayer before the cathedral bells signalled a minute's silence for those who are affected by the devastation caused by the Russian invasion. At the end of the service, hundreds of people, both young and old, formed a line down the nave to place candles, daffodils, and messages of prayer on the cathedral's floor next to a large outline of the map of Ukraine, which was formed to provide a symbol of hope that even in the depths of darkness, light will prevail. There was also a performance from Winchester College student and violinist Brandon Chan, who played a piece by German composer Johann Sebastian Bach. The Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, Dean of Winchester, said, "When you put these things on, you never know what will happen. But we felt that there was a need and people would want to come. We wanted people to hear from those in Ukraine, to give people a chance to pray and reflect together, whatever people's faith or background." Steve Brine, MP, said, "I think people feel so helpless at the moment, and I get that in my correspondence all the time. So yes, it's just a vigil, but actually the power of prayer matters too, and the fellowship of standing together with one collective thought is very powerful. We all felt that today." Veronica Shaw, who's 63, laid a daffodil in solidarity with Ukraine. She said, "I feel like many other people, quite helpless really. My parents were refugees from the Russian invasion of Hungary in 1956, and they came to this country and it gave them sanctuary." Donations were collected at the end of the vigil for the Disaster Emergency Committee's Ukraine appeal.
City buskers raise thousands for Ukraine. A group of city buskers put their instruments to good use by raising thousands for Ukrainian relief in just a matter of hours. The Winchester Uke Jam took to the High Street at midday on Friday, March the 4th, for a special Ukes for Ukraine busk in a bid to raise money for the British Red Cross Ukraine appeal. The group of talented ukulele enthusiasts collected a staggering £3,145 in just 2.5 hours in what has been described as an extraordinary achievement by the group's leader, Andrew Martin. Mr. Martin, 68, who's been teaching the instrument for several years, said, "It all came together really quickly on Tuesday. I thought to myself, I have to do something. I have to help somebody somehow. I'm not a doctor, nor am I a soldier or a politician, but I can play the ukulele. So I put a message out to my group to say I'd be playing at the Buttercross on Friday if anybody wanted to join me. And it just went on from there. I did a head count on the day and I think around 58 people turned up. We stood there for around 2.5 hours and the money is still coming in." This isn't the first time Mr. Martin and co have used their ukes to raise money for those in need. In 2015, they took to the streets in the wake of the devastating earthquake in Nepal, which killed nearly 9,000 people and injured over 22,000, raising about £850 in the process, a target Mr. Martin didn't expect to exceed. "At the time, I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing," which it was. "And going into Friday, I felt that if we could get anywhere close to that figure again, it would be fantastic. But it has just absolutely blown up. I'm amazed. It's all down to the people of Winchester digging deep and my group's chipping in as well." Mr. Martin said the Winchester Uke Jam will be hosting another show dedicated to those in Ukraine on March the 24th at Winchester Rugby Club, who have kindly waived the £200 venue fee to support the cause. If you wish to make an online donation to the British Red Cross in their appeal for Ukraine, you can do so at donate.redcross.org.uk/appeal/Ukraine-crisis-appeal. Sorry about all the very long titles there. That one, Ros, please.
Yes. This is headed Help from Hampshire. Villagers near Winchester have raised funds to take supplies to Ukraine. Their van, branded Help from Hampshire, left Stoke Charity on Friday afternoon to embark on a long journey across Central Europe. The group are focusing on what the Ukrainians have said their refugees need, such as personal hygiene and sanitary products. Organiser John Calcutt, taking a break from loading the van to speak to the Chronicle, said, "We are sending items that Ukraine plan and needs have specifically aren't requested." This is an initiative in Stoke Charity and Hunton that recognises the failure of our government to show any type of humanitarian spirit to the Ukrainian refugees. Going on a trip are Brian Kalkori, Paul Biffrin and Tom Payne. Mr. Calcutt, who runs a medical supply company, is talking to Colton Common, saying he has spoken to contacts in the Ukraine who told him what was needed. They don't want clothes, but they do want hygiene packs, shampoo, toothbrushes, sanitizers. We want to show our solidarity and that the Brits care. They know that on crossing into Poland and Hungary that we are giving them a gift that says we care. Mr. Collicutt said that the goods were worth several thousand pounds. He hopes the trip will be the first of many, and he is set to obtain 23 ambulances, which plans to move to the Ukraine if it can find the drivers. He said many Stoke Charity and Hunton villagers will open their houses to refugees once they have obtained their visas the government requires.
Dad travels to Ukraine to help family across the border. A father from Winchester has travelled to Ukraine to help family members to safety from the war with Russia. Thomas Wilkinson flew to Ukraine to bring his sister-in-law, niece and nephew to the UK, whilst Alexei Komyakov, his brother-in-law, stayed behind to fight for his country. Thomas, 46, from Stoke Charity, was stopped and refused entry at the Hungarian border this week after his rental car insurance didn't cover Ukraine. He said, "I knew this, but tried to suggest it was my personal risk, not theirs, yet the Hungarians were having none of it. I walked into Ukraine to meet up with my family and said some farewells and headed back to Hungary. I managed to give my brother-in-law some basic medicine, a sleeping bag and a Revolut debit card, but I didn't have a lot because it wasn't the original plan to actually go into Ukraine." Thomas felt leaving his brother-in-law was the most challenging part of the trip. He said it was quite emotional, leaving Alexei there without his wife and children, knowing he now has to either fight or find some kind of role in the war effort. Otherwise he will be arrested for not reporting for duty of some description. "I'm worried about his mental health. It's a difficult situation to be in." On the way back through the border, where Thomas waited in a queue of women and children for 3 hours, while traffic was backed up for over 12 hours, he had to get on a government bus to be processed, which he felt was the most stressful part of the trip. "I said I had to explain in German, as the Hungarian soldiers didn't speak Russian, English or French, that I had my car 200 metres away and that only come into Ukraine a few hours ago, but the guard was super aggressive and wouldn't listen. Eventually he said I could go because I showed him the stamp on my passport showing I'd come in and gone out the same day. But then he said the others would be taken to a nearby school to be processed, but couldn't give me the address. At this point, another guard came along and said it was okay, and my family could come with me. We literally all ran away from there before they changed their minds. Thomas and his family are currently in a hotel between the border and Budapest, where the next stage is to try to force the biometrics to be done in Budapest at the visa application centre. He said, all is largely well, given the kids are safe now. Thoughts are now with the parents left behind in Kyiv, and of course with Alexei, who's had to watch us all leave him behind.
Street collection for Ukraine. Winchester Rotary has matched city residents' generosity after raising thousands during a high street collection. Members took to Winchester High Street on Sunday to gather funds for the Ukraine appeal. Thanks to the generosity of the public, £3,000 was raised, £2,000 of which came via street donations, and a further £1,000 was given online. This will be matched from the club's charitable funds, meaning £6,000 is going to the Rotary Foundation UK Disaster Response Fund, earmarked until April 30th, specifically for Ukraine. Rotary members have said, if needed, a further event will be organised, but online donations can continue to be made at cafdonate.cafonline.org/19995.
Well, we now move on to the opinion piece written this week by Kimberly Barber, and is headed Unkind Trolls, What to Do? I want to talk about trolls, not the ugly wizened creatures that live under trip-trap bridges or the brightly coloured fluffy hair toys from my childhood, but the antagonising, awful scourge of the modern world that can be found online. I'm a person who likes to know what's going on in my community. That's probably why I ended up in local news. As our modern lives have taken us more online, I'm an active part of several Facebook groups. After all, that's where everyone is these days. There are a few I'd count in my favourites. Canterbury Residents Group is always good to keep up with where I grew up. Portsmouth Breaking News is good for the drama. And Winchester Rants throws up some funny topics and useful titbits.
It does.
Of course, it's always great to see these groups used for good. Collections for the Ukraine, people running errands, lost property reunited. However, whatever the post, there's always one miserable lurker. The definition of a troll is quite widely well known as someone who anonymously, or hiding behind a pseudonym, posts inflammatory, irrelevant or offensive comments. Some people are quite clearly trolls and pride themselves on the disruptions they cause. However, the worst kind are the ones you don't realise what they are doing. The negative comment that spills out. The blasé remark that could be misinterpreted as offensive. The unnecessary criticism. The unfunny sarcasm. What people need to realise is that these community groups are public forums. There are others there who will read that post. People you don't know. It's accessible to all, even the person who you are being mean about. Or even worse, their mum or daughter. People need to see these groups in the same way as a pub or cafe. You wouldn't walk into a pub or cafe and shout a negative comment or controversial opinion in front of strangers. So why feel the need to do it exactly that online? I'm not claiming to be perfect. Sometimes my need to hit back overtakes. I type out an angry post and hit send when I really should know better. Just last week, I couldn't hold back. A university student had posted on one of these sites looking to write a story for his coursework about a controversial council meeting. Fair enough. Our reporter had been at that meeting and we had covered it. So this guy had seen that and wanted to replicate. He posted onto a group asking for people's opinions and pictures. In my view, an entirely sensible thing to do. Something he was well within his rights to do. However, some people took exception to this and decided to post negative comments. The one that particularly irks me was this. The absolute state of this. Tweed's vague story. Tweet's vague story of an event he didn't attend and then asked random strangers for information. Is that how journalism is taught today? It disappointed me to see someone post such a nasty public criticism of a young person. What I ask is for whose benefit was that off-the-cuff criticism? What good has been achieved by publicly roasting a young person at the very start of their career in that way? Did it make the student feel bad? Well, yes. Did it make the poster feel good? Well, who knows? I have worked in local news for more than 10 years, and I have faced my fair share of criticism. I have received nasty comments on my work, my personal life, my health, my looks, my accent, you name it. Someone has probably posted something nasty about it online. I know just how hurtful these comments can be. Someone once made a meme about my friend's looks and shared it. It went viral and popped back up onto another unrelated friend's timeline. It was so sad and so hurtful. It really affected her. With all the focus on people's mental health, I plead with you all. Before you post that snippy comment on Facebook, take a look at what you're saying and ask yourself, is it kind? Is it necessary? What I have discovered is that trolls are no longer hiding under fairy tale bridges. They are hiding in plain sight. Sometimes even in the mirror. And we go on for the next section is Belgarum, and Belgarum gives us an alternative look at the news. We've got three items, starting with Roz, please.
Yes, this one's called Stranded Bus Causes Delay on Major Road. A broken down bus caused delays on the A31 throughout the morning as teams worked to recover the stranded vehicle. Stagecoach was forced to cancel the 9:45 a.m. 64 service from Alton to Winchester due to the breakdown, having initially announced it would only be delayed by 25 minutes while a replacement vehicle was found. Cones were placed around the bus, which became stranded on the stretch of the highway by four marks, and queues quickly built up as drivers struggled to pass. A specialist recovery lorry managed to hitch up the bus shortly before 1 p.m. and it has since been towed away.
Oh. Yeah, thank you, Richard.
Planning committee contradictions. Belgarum has been around the block for many years in Winchester and seen lots of things, including scores, if not hundreds, of city council planning committees, from house extensions to the £150 million Silver Hill scheme. One constant refrain at these meetings is that the committee must deal with each application on its own merits, that the committee must not take into account other issues, including potential schemes for the same site. The Chief Planning Officer, Julie Pinnock, regularly reminds us of the committee of this. So Belgarum was slightly surprised by the comments of Matt Hutchings QC at the recent Cabinet. The City Council has hired him and taken the highly unusual step of asking him to attend the recent scrutiny and Cabinet meeting to advise councillors on the controversial disposal of the River Park Leisure Centre. Opponents of the disposal want alternative ideas to be considered now, before the land is transferred to Southampton University. The City Council and Mr. Hutchings say that it's not necessary, as there will be time and opportunity for other ideas to be considered. According to the Council minutes of Mr. Hutchings' comments, quote, "Furthermore, it was his case that the Planning Committee would be obliged to take into consideration, when looking at the grant of planning consent, any other proposed uses brought forward by individuals or bodies as viable suggestions. In this suggestion, he was questioned by the chair of the committee, but no withdrawal of his assertions was made." Mr. Hutchings was seemingly contradicting what Miss Pinnock has been saying for several years. So, which is it? The planning committee can take alternative ideas into consideration? Or can't they? There'll be lots of developers, interested parties, neighbours, opponents and consultants taking a close interest.
Claire, please.
The new car park currently being ignored. Brand spanking new, the multi-storey car park off in Bar End has now opened. The largest Meccano kit in Winchester history. It is also the closest park and ride car park to the city centre, sitting as it does next to Barfield Close, and much closer to the city centre than St Catherine's, the largest car park just off the M3. Interestingly, despite being open since last Friday, the new facility is pretty much empty, showing that drivers are creatures of habit. It is closer to the bus stop on Barfield Close, yet people, perhaps through muscle memory, are currently preferring to park where they usually do.
Thank you, Claire. Now, we've got a few items relating to what's on in Winchester, starting with Rods, please.
Well, yes, this one is headed excitingly, Play to Debut in Winchester. A Winchester theatre is preparing for its latest production, which is due to open next month. The Chesil Theatre was well known for a wide range of dramatic productions. Offer Alan Ayckbourn, If I Were You. Ayckbourn completed this, his 70th play, in 2006, shortly before suffering a serious stroke. After making a strong recovery, he was able to direct its premiere in Scarborough, where he lives, later that year. The play centres on Jill and Mal, a couple trapped in a tedious and troubled marriage, a favoured theme of Ayckbourn's. The teenage son and married daughter have their own problems too, as Jill falls into an easy sleep after a typically unhappy day, murmurs to herself, "God help us." In the morning, they both discover something extraordinary, compelling them to rethink their crumbling relationship. In this funny, moving, and thought-provoking play, Ayckbourn suggests that you never really understand a person until you consider things from their point of view. Director Marina Humphrey says, "If I Were You is a fascinating study of differences between men and women and of how each person relates to the other. This was something we enjoyed exploring during rehearsals." Performances start on Saturday, April the 2nd at 7:45 and will run until April the 9th. With a socially distanced performance, a matinee performance being held at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, April the 3rd. Bookings can be made via TicketSource on the Chesil website.
Thank you. Richard.
Street party competition. Treat your street and take part in our fabulous competition to win £300 in vouchers towards your neighbourhood's street party.
Oh.
As we prepare to celebrate 70 years of our Queen with the Platinum Jubilee, we would like to invite you and your neighbours to enter a competition to win £300 worth of Sainsbury's shopping vouchers to use towards purchasing your food for that event. For your chance to win, all you have to do is complete the form printed in the newspaper from now until week ending April the 24th. The street party or community event that receives the most entries will win the £300 voucher, so don't forget to encourage your local community to take part. Kimberly Barber, original editor, said, "We wanted to give our readers the chance to celebrate the Queen's Jubilee in the best possible way. While there can only be one winner, we will be covering street parties and celebrations leading up to and during the extended bank holiday weekend in June. Alongside this brilliant chance to win £300, we've dedicated a reporter who wants to hear all about the things you've planned for the Platinum Jubilee. Did you get married on the day of the Queen's coronation?
Oh,
were you born in the Queen's big day? We'd love to hear from you so we can include you in our coverage. Email our dedicated Platinum Jubilee reporter, toby.oliver@newsquest.co.uk, with the details so we can come along on the day."
And Claire, please.
The Watercress line is ready to reopen for a year of special events. A steam railway is back on track for an exciting season of events for families and heritage railway fans of all ages. Hampshire's popular Watercress line is due to reopen on Saturday, March the 19th. A series of special activities is planned, from the family-friendly days out with Thomas, now featuring Sir Topham Hatt, and three new entertainment shows, to nostalgia days such as War on the Line, a 50s and 60s weekend, and a vintage vehicle event displaying locomotives, cars, motorbikes and tractors. Rail enthusiasts will have the opportunity to enjoy spring and autumn steam gala days and a summer diesel gala showcasing visiting and home fleet, freight and passenger trains. The Watercress Line's year will also set the return of the spooky Wizard Week in October. Managing Director Alison Houghton said all the staff are looking forward to the reopening of our much-loved railway on March the 19th and welcoming everybody back on board. "There's plenty to enjoy, so don't miss out. Visit our website and book your tickets in advance for any special events."
Thank you, Claire. The last item in this section is headed Easter Trail Coming to Winchester City Centre. This Easter and during the school holidays, Winchester Business Improvement District, BID, is organising a free Easter-themed trail. The Buddy Hop Easter Trail will run from April the 9th to the 24th with a chance to enter the prize draw and win an Easter-inspired hamper. Before heading out across the city, collect a copy of the Bunny Hop Trail sheet from the Visitor Information Centre, the Ark, or Winchester City Museum, or download a copy from Winchester BID website. The city centre will be split into 9 areas, and each area will have its own bunny-themed word in its own coloured Easter egg sign. Using the map, simply hop around the beautiful historic streets of Winchester and search for all 9 Easter-themed words. Once you have found all 9 words, return your completed trail sheet to any of these 3 locations, Visitor Information Centre, the Ark, or Winchester City Museum, to then redeem an Easter-themed treat and be entered into the prize draw to win an Easter-inspired hamper. Thania Meesh, our marketing communication coordinator at Winchester Bids, said, "We are delighted to be hosting the Bunny Hop Easter Trail again this year, with many local businesses getting involved in this fun seasonal activity. This is a great opportunity for us to work with local businesses and other local partner organisations to help promote everything that Winchester has to offer this Easter. The Bunny Hop Easter Trail is a fantastic way of introducing people to all the different areas of the city and is a fun familiarisation activity centred around the heart of our beautiful heritage city of Winchester." Well, that concludes sort of that particular section of items. But before we go on to the items of general news, I know you're all sitting there waiting for the lighting up time. So I won't make you wait any longer. The sun, if there is any, will rise shortly after 6:15 and set again around 8:15 p.m. Goodness, summaries are coming along.
No.
So we go on to items of general news, starting with Roz, please.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Well, this first one is entitled Peregrine Egg. Winchester Cathedral has delivered an exciting update from the city's new power couple. Pictures captured by the cathedral's Peregrine Cam show that Winnie, the resident female, has laid her first egg in the season. Winnie, who had at least 25 chicks with her late mate Chester, returned to the high edge ledge of the start of February. Yes, I'm sorry about that. At the start of February. However, for the first time in years, Winnie, who hatched another 3 peregrine eggs in 2021, was flying solo after her mate Chester. He died, sadly, in May last year. In a baffling Valentine's twist, Winnie found a new male in mid-February who has been named William by the cathedral team. The pair are now expecting their first chick, and Winnie can be seen inculcating the egg. To view the website, visit Winchester Cathedral website. That's cathedral website. I hope that's clear. I'm sorry. I love peregrines. They fly over our house quite regularly.
Yes, they do. Right, thank you, Richard.
Pigeons proofing at Winchester site. The nuisance of pigeons at a Winchester historic monument are proving hard to deter, sparking criticism of local councillors. Dozens of the flying pests are still colonising Hyde Gate, the historical gateway to Hyde Abbey, the last known resting place of Alfred the Great. That's despite a recent visit by a contractor. Edward Fennell, founder of Hyde 900 and a campaigner to better present the gateway, has been pressing the City Council to make improvements to the area with a long-term view of using it as a cultural centre. But in the meantime, the pigeons are fouling the place and it's used as a place for drug deals. The Chronicle recently reported graffiti on the information boards, since cleaned. Mr. Fennell, of nearby Egbert Road, said a visit organised by an American academic was due to visit soon. This is one of the reasons why it's vital for Winchester City Council to take its responsibilities seriously. How shame it will be for these visitors, some of them foreign, to see the gate in its current condition. He said, "When I came through this gate this evening, there were still 34 pigeons there, despite the extra remedial work supposed to have been done. Frankly, it's totally pathetic." In a post on Nextdoor website, local councillor John Tippett Cooper said, "The pigeon proofing contractor attended yesterday, made some changes to the installed pigeon proofing, but it still not deterred some immensely stubborn birds. It was not possible to install electric deterrent tracks along the stonework without drilling into the stones, which is not permitted under the Historic England consent. However, the contractor will be reattending ASAP with a view to possibly installing spikes instead. Failing that, the only solution may be netting. but I know there were concerns about this in the past due to the impact on the aesthetic of the high gate, and it would also need approval by Historic England. The pigeon proofing is working along the beams and in the chambers, but we need to get them all out to protect the building properly before more substantive works are started on restoring the gate. More to follow on that soon.
Winchester man fundraising for an Alzheimer's charity. A Winchester man is set to light up the Hampshire skyline next week to raise funds for Alzheimer's Society vital work. Callum Pepper, who's 29, will join hundreds of fundraisers uniting against dementia after dark at the charity's Portsmouth Glow Walk on Friday, March the 18th, after experiencing the devastating impact of dementia firsthand. He is determined to shine a light on dementia after his beloved 95-year-old grandmother was diagnosed with the disease 2 years ago. Callum, who aims to raise £200 at the sponsored night walk, said, "My nan has played a huge part in my life, and to see such a kind, caring, humorous and loving person succumb to an awful illness has been devastating for the whole family. Dementia just doesn't impact the person diagnosed with it, but everyone around them. The fact that she can no longer remember the wonderful times we spent together is particularly hard. I'm taking part in the Glow Walk in her honour. It is important to me to raise money for Alzheimer's Society because I want to contribute to the incredible research and care provided by the charity." When the pandemic started, Callum's 25-year-old sister moved in with their nan, Margaret Pepper, to look after her. It was during this time that the pensioner's behaviour changed. She started sleeping a lot, experiencing night terrors, and trying to get out of the house in the middle of the night. The family arranged for Margaret to be assessed, and she was diagnosed with dementia in November 2020. Her health deteriorated to the point that she required round-the-clock support, so Margaret moved into a care home early last year. Until he moved to Winchester 4 years ago, Callum would visit his nan at least 3 times a week, where she lived in their hometown of Spalding in Lancashire. "I have so many fond memories of the time we spent together over the years," says Callum, who works at Swanmore College in Southampton. "Over the years, we spent hours together, sat listening to the Archers, at the same time as watching the soaps on TV or pottering around her garden. Nowadays, we see each other on FaceTime, and it has been a joy to introduce her on there to my 5-month-old daughter, Lyra Ann, who is her first great-grandchild. They love to smile and giggle at each other. Callum will join people of all ages and walking abilities for a colourful 5-kilometre stroll along South Sea's historic seafront. Participants are encouraged to dress in neon colours, bring glow sticks and sport their brightest outfits to raise funds and awareness for the 22,380 people living with dementia in Hampshire.
Here's over New Silver Hill. Winchester architects are presenting their ideas for the redevelopment of the Silver Hill area. Officially called Central Winchester Regeneration, the City Council is looking to involve a developer to undertake a new revamp of the land between Friars Gate and the Broadway. Adam Architecture, based in Hyde Street, is calling for the large site, which includes the bus station and King's Walk, to be developed in stages by different developers and different architects. But the council is pressing on in a similar vein to the Henderson scheme, which collapsed in 2016. Hugh Petter, director of Adam Architecture, is concerned at the way the council is proceeding. He says, The City Council once again are looking to sell Silver Hill to a third-party developer. Given the checkered history of the site and the planning risk and timing from significant archaeology, which is believed to be present, this is not the way to get the best value for the city. We think the City Council should remain involved as landowner and work in partnership with a master developer partner with coherent master plan, bringing in smaller developers to deliver the scheme incrementally over time as leases come to an end. There is such a strong pool of talent in Winchester in terms of architects and developers, so why would you not want to work with these people who really understand and care about their city? Drip feeding the redevelopment of Silver Hill into the property market in this way will husband values more effectively than the comprehensive redevelopment route that the council is currently pursuing, enabling the scale of the development to be kept at an appropriate scale, unlike previous proposals. Now, Ros, please.
Well, this is a successful development job. Cozy Club site work. Work has resumed of a Winchester High Street property with a popular restaurant where has successfully secured planning permission. The restaurant claim Cozy Club had aimed to move into the site, which is formerly occupied by Next in 2020, but the work came to a halt. Loungers Limited succeeded with planning permission of the building, which is between Debenhams and Rickstein on the High Street. The space has been vacant for 4 years since, on its fashion claim, Next vacated the premises in June 2018. Cozy Club has been contacted for a confirmation of the plans of the Winchester plot. Good luck to them.
Richard.
Yes, here's some cheery news. Not. Bird flu sparks protection zone. Bird flu cases have been confirmed near Eastleigh and a protection zone has been put in place. The Department for Environmental, Food and Rural Affairs, DEFRA, has written to residents across Eastleigh, Bishopstoke, Bishops Waltham and Hedge End following confirmed cases of bird flu. A 3-kilometre protection zone and 10-kilometre surveillance zone have been put in place around the premises. Eastleigh, Bishopstoke, Bishops Waltham and Hedge End are inside the 10-kilometre surveillance zone and Lower Upham, Upham and Horton Heath are inside the 3-kilometre protection zone.
Claire, please.
School alert increases patrols. Police have stepped up patrols after a stranger approached a child outside a Hampshire primary school. The incident happened in St Vigo Way on Thursday morning while the child was on their way to Colden Common Primary School in Upper Moors Road. The school sent out an alert to parents on Thursday, urging them to be vigilant and calling for extra PCSO presence. Police have since confirmed PCSO patrols have been upped, with an officer from Winchester seen in the area this morning. A spokesman from Hampshire Constabulary said, "We received a report of a suspicious incident which took place near Colden Common Primary School on Thursday, March the 10th. It was reported to police that around 8:25 a.m. a car slowed down and the driver offered a child a pencil. The child was called away by a parent and the car subsequently drove off. Police have liaised with the school and patrolled the area. We continue to encourage anyone that witnesses suspicious behaviour to report this to police on 101. Dial 999 if a crime is in progress or someone is in danger."
Thank you, Claire. Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week, but before you go, another reminder that Liz Legrees is the person to call if you have any problems with your recording. A contact number again is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Well, thanks to all our support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition, to our editors, Gordon and Liz, and of course, many thanks to our readers, Ros.
Goodbye.
Richard.
Bye.
And Claire.
Bye.
And I'm Peter. From me, until next time, goodbye. Before we go, would you please put the memory stick in the wallet when you finish with it and return it to us as soon as possible. Thank you. Goodbye.